This segment of the show is brought to you by ShoreCruise.com, your online cruise superstore, and in part by USA 3000 Airlines, offering low-cost fares from St. Petersburg, Orlando, Fort Myers, and Fort Lauderdale to seven cities. You can check out their super specials on our website. Mr. Evan Eggers, president of ShoreCruise.com, is on the telephone with the latest cruise buzz. Good morning, Evan.
Good morning, Roy.
Everything well with you?
Oh, everything's going great up here. Weather nice, fall weather, sunny, beautiful. No complaints.
I hear you're going to do a little bicycle ride for a charity.
Yeah, a little bike ride this Saturday, actually. Thank you for asking about it. It's the Rodman Ride for Kids. What they do is they have a bike ride between 30 and 100 miles for charity. And the groups that do it can pick what charity, what children's-oriented charity they want the money to go to. And what my wife and I have chosen is Massachusetts Mentoring, which is to set up kids who are at risk with mentors to help them make smart decisions and excel in life. That's what we'll be doing.
And if any of our guests would like to contribute to this, how would they go about it?
Well, it's a great charity, so it's very simple. Just go to surecruise.com/donate, and it'll explain what to do there.
Okay, great. So we encourage everybody. It sounds like a good cause, and if you'd like to do that, just go to surecruise.com and click on donate, I guess, huh?
Surecruise.com/donate.
Oh, slash donate.
Yep,
okay.
There you go.
All right, well, let's get to the cruise buzz. A couple of things. I understand that the Stockholm ship that hit and sank the Andrea Doria was renamed, refurbished, and now back in service. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So it just called in New York, as a matter of fact, which is why it got back in the news here in the United States. So the SS Stockholm was the original name of the ship that was has been infamous as a vessel that hit the Andrea Doria 50
right.
years ago,
right.
July of 1956. 51 people died. At any rate, as is, you know, the case with lots of older ships, although we don't see them so much in the North American market, the ship was renamed the Athena by a company called Classic International Cruises out of Britain, and the ship is sailing around again and just called on New York.
Well, and it doesn't have to worry about running into the Andrea Doria.
No, that's exactly right. Yeah, and what had happened in this, you know, 50 years ago was the Stockholm, the ship had been sailing towards Scandinavia with an ice-breaking prow and hit the starboard side of the Andrea Doria.
Right.
And the Andrea Doria took 11 hours to sink, so a lot of people were able to be rescued by another ship. But nonetheless, the Andrea Doria sank, and the Stockholm limped into New York at that time. And, you know, as the circle of life would have it, it was docked just a few blocks from where it was docked then.
I wanted to ask you about this lawsuit, this passenger that's filed this suit against Holland American Lines, kind of an unusual claim, don't you think?
Yeah, it is. I mean, lawsuits come and lawsuits go with any big company. We don't usually comment on them. This one is, it may go nowhere, to be clear, but it's still certainly a little different, as you say. This is a passenger who had sailed to Alaska on Holland America, and he's trying to get a class action started, of course, which is a typical thing in this day and age, to try and make the claim much bigger, you know, including lots of passengers who might have had this problem. And he's making two claims. Claim number one is, now there's a law called the Jones Act, which is, and the point of that law is that a foreign flag vessel, as most cruise ships are, can't sail between ports in the U.S. Now this gentleman, his plans had changed. He was supposed to cruise from a foreign port like Vancouver up to Anchorage, and his flights were messed up such that he ended up needing to catch the ship at a U.S. port. Therefore, he's sailing between U.S. ports of call,
right,
and therefore potentially liable under this Jones Act penalty of $300 per passenger.
In other words, he had flown to that destination to pick up the ship.
Exactly, to catch the ship.
Right.
And so apparently what the cruise line does is automatically collect the $300 from the passenger, and what he's alleging is that rarely, if ever, does the cruise line ever need to give that money to the government. The government never comes around looking for it or asking for it.
Right. And in most cases, they probably don't even know what happened.
Well, it's totally possible, you know. And so he's basically saying, well, if the cruise line's been regularly digging people $300 every time this happens, which is not uncommon, and sitting on the money, they've probably been, you know, sitting on quite a pile of money. And the second complaint he had is that there's an Alaska law that, frankly, this is the first I ever heard of it. Now, there's a new Alaska law that requires this, but apparently there's an Alaska law that's been in place for quite some time that I hadn't heard of. It requires a cruise line to disclose if it receives a fee for marketing a shore excursion. And, you know, every cruise line that's offering shore excursions is basically finding existing shore excursions from vendors on land and
right.
marking them up.
Right.
So, you know, he's saying that if he was never informed either verbally or in writing for a expensive fishing excursion that he bought, And the cruise line is breaking that law as well. So these are the two complaints that he has.
Well, what's interesting about that is that we all understand packaging. And there are two things. Either one of two things have to happen. One, the cruise line gets it and marks it up by a certain percentage of how they make their money and the time put into promoting these things. Or, in fact, that the tour operator offers them a net discounted rate and they sell it at the same rate as the tour operator, but they are still getting a certain percentage for offering the tour. Now, I would think that if they've marked the tour up 20% and you go on shore and you go up to somebody that operates that tour and find out you can get a 20% less, that would be pretty upsetting. So I don't know. I mean, it's an interesting charge because we know that these things happen.
Of course. And I can easily argue both sides of it. And if I chose to take the cruise line side, which I don't necessarily, but if I chose to, the argument I would make is that they actually are investing a substantial sum in vetting these shore excursion vendors, making sure they're safe, inspecting all their equipment regularly, all this kind of good stuff.
And pitching the tour and going through all of that process.
Expense. Right, it's like any retail operation. I mean, you know that as things get passed along through the channel until the consumer buys them, people add a markup.
Right.
But, so anyway, we'll see if this Alaska law violation stands. And of course, the cruise lines have been sitting on many multiples of this $300 per person penalty when the Jones Act is violated. Well, they certainly deserve to be spanked for that.
Well, and the other side of that is that law just applied to Alaska? Because I've never heard of that before.
Well, Alaska is where people typically get tripped up because you've got the Vancouver to Anchorage and vice versa sailings, and so if you know you get messed up one way or the other, you can easily go between two U.S. ports. So that's normally where the problem crops up. It's not as common elsewhere, but the law does exist elsewhere. It applies equally everywhere in the U.S.
Oh, okay, great. The Jewel of the Seas is pulled out of Boston.
Yes, you know, I live up near Boston, 45 minutes outside of Boston, so I was sad to see that.
I know.
That Royal Caribbean has basically canceled their 2007 rather, schedule for Jewel of the Seas, which has been scheduled to sail a number of trips out of Boston. They say because it needs to go into dry dock. And, of course, the ship's not going to be in dry dock all summer, but they say that because of the dry dock necessity, they had to reshuffle the schedule and Boston no longer worked. So the cruise line, Royal Caribbean, does have a request in for space in 2008, so they're saying it's just a one-summer thing and they'll be back. The Jewel has been very popular up here, very popular, so sorry to see it missing this year. But the good news is for Massport, the Massachusetts Port Authority, is there are 10 more port calls being made in Boston this year, 10 more ships, actually, so that's great. You know, there'll still be there's a thriving cruise business going on up here in Boston.
Absolutely. I also see, and I don't think we covered this, that Carnival Cruise Lines Freedom is going to operate a one-time nine-day cruise in March 2007, covering five ports, Italy, Greece, Croatia, and Turkey.
That's right. So, something changed in their schedule. I'm not sure what it is, but it made it possible for them to offer this one-time special voyage that they just announced, so it's really brand new.
They must have had a gap in there somewhere.
Maybe they've been planning to go into dry dock for a day or two. I don't know, and they canceled it, but whatever.
That sounds like a good cruise.
Oh, it does. I mean, 9 days. You know, Carnival is relatively new to the Mediterranean, but they've been fantastically, you know, popular, bringing the Carnival experience to the Med. So I imagine this trip will sell out fast, and it's as you say, it's March 7th.
Now I also see that
2007, rather, sorry,
right, 2007. I also see that the Department of Homeland Security has announced grants that are being distributed to ports. And interestingly enough, of all of the ports and all of the money that's being distributed, Tampa is not one of them, which I find kind of surprising.
Well, in your neck of the woods, that is strange, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Miami, Port Everglades, Philadelphia, New Orleans. I mean, it's all over the place, but not here. Even New York, New Jersey.
Well, no,
New York / New Jersey.
If we want to put on our optimist hat and not our cynic hat, we'd say it's because the Tampa port is already so secure.
Well, yeah, but you know, funny on the news last night, they weren't acting that way. They were a little disappointed that they weren't getting a piece of that particular case, you know, that particular chunk of money. And, you know, I can certainly understand that.
Yeah, sure, there's a range of funds that are being distributed, too, you know, from $25 million in New York and New Jersey down to $140,000 for San Diego, which is kind of interesting.
The other thing that I find kind of interesting, I'm sure you must know Richard Sasso. He's been around the industry for a long time, and now, of course, he's the CEO of MSC Cruise Lines. And we don't hear too much of them, but really kind of caught my eye when I saw that, you know, they're promoting this baby boomers and seniors can save up to 60% off of retail rates on selected 2007 Caribbean Panama sailings. Now, and then they, not only that, but then they go on to talk about some of these shore excursions that they're going to be offering on some of the more exotic cruises. And I find it hard to believe that, you know, you can go into the Namibian desert for any length of time. I mean, I don't understand how they're going to structure this.
No, you know, I've heard that news about what MSC is doing, too, and I haven't tried them myself, but they certainly are. They're trying to be innovative. They're trying to do different things.
Yeah.
They have new ships, and as you say, because they are a brand that's less well-known, especially in North America and here in the United States, there's some terrific pricing opportunities that are out there right now.
And that's good.
No, absolutely.
That's certainly a good thing. Now, let's just see. Yeah, there was another item. It looks like the Carnival Legend is going to, the Carnival Legend Miracle is going to swap home ports in 07. It looks like we're going to get it, I believe, in Tampa. It was originally operating out of New York and Fort Lauderdale, and it's going to move to Tampa for a year-round, seven-day Western Caribbean voyages, as I see here, starting April 15th.
Well, being in Tampa's backyard, surely that's the largest ship sailing regularly from Tampa.
Yeah.
By a fair margin, I would imagine.
And I think, I mean, that's pretty exciting because, obviously, we'd lost the one little ship we had out of Manatee County, and it seems the Port of Tampa is getting a little bit more attention, and that's good for us.
Well, as it should be. I mean, there's so much focus on Fort Lauderdale and Miami, that whole area. It is nice having other options, other opportunities available.
What else? You got anything else?
Well, you know, one other funny thing that we both caught both of our eyes is this water wars that Carnival's adding to their ships. That's
exactly.
Hilarious.
Exactly.
Have you seen these things at a fair, this water wars kind of game?
No, I actually haven't, but I've seen the kids, you know, locally do some of those. You know?
Well, yeah, well, it's funny. So Carnival's adding it to all their ships, this thing called water wars. And what it basically is, it's a little setup where you're having a water balloon fight propelled by big rubber bands and funnels. You can fire the water balloon at the other person. But it's done in a safe way, so that you've got kind of a shield in front of you, and even where there's a hole where the water balloon can hit you, there's kind of like screening over it, so the balloon itself breaks up before it gets to you, and all you get is the water. You see what I'm saying? So it's very safe, but it's also fun. So you're basically firing water balloons back and forth at each other.
So you don't get slapped with the balloon
exactly.
Itself.
Exactly. You can't take a balloon square to the head, so it's safe.
Well, everybody's trying to be a little innovative, and you know, everybody's trying to attract families and more ships, bigger ships. You got to come up with the cutesy ideas, and that sounds like fun, actually.
Well, you know, I'm just a big kid, I guess, so it sounds fun to me too.
Especially if it's a hot day and you're standing out around the pool, I think I can handle that.
Exactly, I agree.
Evan, thank you. We've got to run, and look forward to talking to you. I think we have a pre-recorded show next week because we'll be on the road, but we'll be on the following week. So.
Well, enjoy your road trip. Enjoy your field trip.
Yeah, well, we just had a long one, but we're going to do another so we can report from some of these great exotic places. So we'll talk to you soon.
Perfect. Enjoy.
Thanks. Always a pleasure. Bye.